All right, and we're back. I'm your host, Mike, and this is episode 45 of the Taproom Podcast. It is Christmas Eve, ladies and gents. Should be a fun day. Got some stuff going on with the fam. This probably be a quicker intro, but I do have some cooking I got to do, so it should be good. But I'm excited about this episode because this one was with Ian McCall, the great Ian McCall over at Ism Brewing. His brand new brewery opened up where it used to be Beechwood over in Long Beach used to be. But it was super fun, man. We got to, hang out, talk, and, just enjoy, a conversation over some beers, man. And that's what this is all about. Yeah, man, it was super fun. And they got a ton of stuff going on. They have a bunch of great, bunch of great beers. They have a bunch of actual, New Zealand style, New Zealand hop, hoppy beers. And oh man, we talk about it on the show a little bit, man. I was like a kid in the candy store with those ones. So it was really fun. So definitely get down to Ism, check it out. They have some phenomenal beers and some really good food. Got to try some of their tri-tip, which will be in the reel later on today. So yeah, definitely get on down there, and hopefully Ian's there. You get to meet him because he's such a really nice guy. Also, a former guest on the show, Adrian Hodapp, does pour down there a couple days a week. So, hey, you might be able to meet both of them, but might be able to meet two guests. So, definitely do that. What else is going on? Obviously, it's Christmas Eve. Oh, what's actually kind of funny? A year ago today was the 100th episode of Taps and Tailgates. So, yeah, it was kind of crazy to where how much stuff changes in a year, man. Crazy. All right. But let's jump into Brewski one here. So, there's only the one Brewski, cause like I said, I got to cook. I bought two of these cans the other day. I posted one on the Instagram. It's at the Taproom Podcast. If you're not following, this one's from Duckfoot. It's called Deck the Hops 2023. It's a double IPA. Brew the Spruce Tips and Rosemary. Coming in at 8%. Says fresh spruce. Can't even talk today. Fresh. Spruce Tips delivers a festive bouquet of sweet, citrusy, and woodsy aromas. And citra hops also keeps the spirits bright, while Chinook hops bring the fa-la-la-la floral notes, and then rosemary brings a little holiday spice to the party. All right, well, let's jump on in here. Let's crack her open, Ari. And it looks like on the can, it looks like an elf is like decking a hop. So that's pretty awesome. Let's crack her open. Oh, yeah. Gotta love it. Oh, and also, at the end of this episode, it's gonna be a nice little musical snack from our boy, Chew Your Beer. So that should be pretty funny. He sent it to me the other day, and I was like, yeah, let's do it, man. Let's put it on there. So, let's jump into this brewski here. Oh yeah, definitely piney for sure. That's pretty freaking good though. And I haven't had Duckfoot in a while. And if you haven't been down to Duckfoot, they have a cool little spot down in San Diego. It's like right in downtown. It's not far from Petco Park where the Padres play. But that's pretty good. That's not bad at all. And I obviously love the can artwork, so yeah, that's pretty dang solid. Yeah, I would probably give this a 7.5, I think. It's pretty solid. It's a cool looking can. Duckfoot, shout out to them, man. So definitely check them out. What else we got this week? Well, I did want to talk about, because we did mention how I did a poll the other day on the Christmas songs. So we'll do Christmas songs and we'll talk about my top 5 Christmas movies. So Christmas songs, some of the ones you guys said, there was a lot of the normal stuff, but Christmas in Hollis was one. The Darkness, Don't Let the Bells End. I'm going to have to listen to that song because it sounds pretty badass. We also got Run, Run, Rudolph. Solid. A Marshmallow World by Dean Martin. My pappy, my grandpa, love Dean Martin, so I'll have to check that out. And of course, Chew put Mamacita, Donde Esta Santa Claus. That was a funny one. Gotta Go with NSYNC from my boy Brewski. But yeah, there was a lot of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, stuff like that. Some of my favorite Christmas ones, I tend to like the kind of ones that aren't necessarily like the traditional ones. If there's a Reliant K album, like way back when, where they did a bunch of Christmas music, or it's like a Christmas album, and it's really good. Another one I love that if you ever get a chance to listen to is called Joy to the World by Andrew Rip. It's like really cool guitar riffs, stuff like that. It's pretty damn cool. Who doesn't love The Spirit of Christmas by like Ray Charles? Santa Bring My Baby Back to Me by Elvis. Gotta love it. Another one I love is Merry, Merry Christmas Everyone by John McLaughlin. It reminds me of like the Peanuts, like Charlie Brown and all that stuff. So definitely, if you have a chance to, you know, Christmas, might as well listen to it. Check it out. And we have our top, I was going to give my top five for Christmas movies. This one was tough. Because, I mean, last week I mentioned all the ones that you guys had, you know, put on the poll and stuff like that. Or answered the question, I mean. Number one would probably be Christmas Vacation. Number two, Christmas Story. I mean, it's just a classic. Three, Family Stone. Four, The Grinch with the Jim Carrey one. And number five, this one was kind of a toss-up. There was so many other ones, and I'll do some honorable mentions, too. But it was a movie I just saw recently, The Holdovers. It was a phenomenal movie with Paul Giamatti. Based at Christmas time. It's really good. So if you have a chance to watch that one, you know, definitely check it out. Some honorable mentions I have, I love Polar Express. Classic movie. Scrooged with Bill Murray is a classic. So good. Another newish one, like from a couple of years ago, was 8-Bit Christmas with NPHs in it. And there's, you know, it's just about a kid's wanting a Nintendo in the 80s. I think that one's on Max or HBO, whatever it's called now. Then Jack Frost with Michael Keaton. Banger. It's a Wonderful Life. I'm sure there's a bunch I'm missing that I actually really love. But yeah, that's me. Those would be my picks. Well, all right. Don't want to hold off the interview for much longer. Cause I mean, I had so much fun with Ian. So hope you guys enjoy that. I hope everybody has a great Christmas. I did want to say thank you to everyone that's been on the show this year. I am going to be doing the episode 50 will be, if you, you know, listen back to episode 25, I was going to do an episode like that where I say thank you to everybody. But I did want to say thank you to everyone out there that's been a guest so far, because it's been a crazy year. Like I said in the beginning, like a year ago today, it was 100 episodes of Taps, and never thought that was going to end. So it's pretty crazy where, you know, how fast things can change. But yeah, man, thank you. Thank you to all you guys listening too. Thank you to, you know, like I said, the guests, the listeners, people that, you know, like the stuff on Instagram and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I appreciate all you guys listening. I also like to say, you know, even though we broke up or whatever, I mean, I want to say thanks to Beto for just being supportive of the show, you know, and through all that, because I know it probably wasn't easy going with, you know, having me go to breweries every week. But all right. So hope you guys enjoy the interview with Ian. Definitely go down there and check out all their beers, and maybe, you know, drink responsibly, obviously. But, you know, try their beers, try their food, play some shuffleboard. They got it all, man. And they have really cool merch, too. I got a sweet-ass shirt and a sweet-ass hat. So, all right, guys. Well, hope you guys have a great Christmas. Don't forget to stay tuned for the music from Chew at the end. All right, you guys take care. All right, guys, we're back in the tap room, and I have a very special guest on today. I have Ian McCall, or the great Ian McCall, from owner and founder of Ism Brewing. What's going on, brother?
How you doing, Mike? Good to see you, man.
I'm doing well. Glad. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, this must have been pretty exciting, everything that's going on in your life right now.
It's definitely been a bit of a dream come true.
Yeah.
You know, I've been joking and talking about with friends of mine. I think every brewer at some point in his life, and some point in his or her craft journey, lays in bed at night and just dreams about having their own brewery.
I bet.
And I've been doing that for quite a long time. So to be here on this side of it is, it's surreal. It's exciting. It's scary. But yeah, it's awesome.
So you guys are off of 3rd Street and is it Promenade right here?
We're technically located on the Promenade.
Okay.
Our address is 210 East 3rd Street.
Okay.
Because this building faces 3rd Street.
Gotcha.
But we are Promenade facing right in between 3rd and Broadway.
Awesome. Now you got to, I love the colors. I love, you know, everything that you guys got in here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a bit of a labor of love. Wanted to make sure that we, you know, I mean, Beechwood was in this space for 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And that this is a hallowed ground. This is Beechwood space.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make sure that we didn't, you know, change it too much, but I needed it to be,
of course,
new and fresh and and exciting. So we did a lot of changes with the lighting, and I'm really stoked on the way it turned out.
Oh yeah. No, I love the lighting. That looks, I mean, well, even just like the color of the blue on Ism is awesome. Like, it just pops. Thank it you. Pops right off the shirt. So that's awesome. But you mentioned your craft beer journey. Could you tell our listeners, you know, about like how you started and everything like that?
Yeah, sure. So my first kind of foray into craft beer started sometime around 2003, 2004.
Okay.
I stumbled in. I was going to school at Golden West College, and I stumbled into Brewbakers in Huntington Beach.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, a friend of mine took me there, and I just absolutely fell in love with the idea of being able to make my own beer.
Yeah.
Spent, you know, all my downtime in between college classes hanging out at Brewbakers, and even pretty quickly got a job and started working there.
Awesome.
I spent 5 years working at Brewbakers. Look, the beer we made wasn't the highest quality.
It happened.
I'm the first to admit that.
Yeah.
We were brewing 15-gallon batches on, you know, individual. We had 6 individual 15-gallon kettles.
Wow.
Fermenting in plastic bags inside plastic, you know, water containers.
Yeah.
It just was what it was.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Of course.
It was fun. It was exciting. Because we were only brewing 15 gallons at a time, we could do anything we wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, we'd go to Smart and Final and buy chocolate or buy graham cracker or buy peppers, and we could just play around. So, although it wasn't the highest quality, and I'm the first to admit that, it was unlimited freedom.
Yeah. And you get to have fun, you know, and if you're doing it with your buddies too, I mean, I can imagine how fun that'd be.
It is. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I actually met my wife there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I taught her and her friends how to brew, and we started dating, and the rest is history.
Yeah, it was a match made in heaven, then. There you go. what are we drinking today?
First beer on the docket is Interloper. This is our, we're calling it an Intercontinental Pils.
Oh, awesome.
So it's all German malt for the base, and then Oregon, Lorien hops.
Well, cheers, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And what's the ABV on this one?
We're at 4.8. Don't quote me on that, but I believe.
Man, that's crystal clear. It's crispy. It's freaking delicious.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great job.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So you started off at Brewbakers.
Yeah.
And then what happened after
that? I worked at Brewbakers through about 2009.
Okay.
Actually, while I was at Brewbakers is when I met Gabe and Lena at Beechwood and Seal Beach. We were providing their pretzel rolls, their onion rolls, like all the bread that they were utilizing for their sandwiches.
Oh, nice.
And so I remember early mornings getting in and making bread in the morning, delivering it to Beechwood. Having a chance to just kind of hang out and talk with Gabe, taste new beers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a really exciting time for craft beer in the 2007, 2008, 2009 time period. You know, just the excitement was there. It was palpable.
Yeah.
And then I'd go back after I would deliver the bread and I'd work all day.
Yeah.
Go to bed and do it again in the morning.
Okay.
So from there, so 2008, 2009, I left Brewbakers, went back to college, got a completely unrelated degree in comparative religion.
Okay.
Went back into construction and just that was the way, that was the direction of my life at that point in time. I'd kind of walked away from beer.
Okay.
And was thinking about it, but didn't know how to make an entrance back into it.
Yeah.
And then in 2011, I had heard that Gabe and Lena and Julian Schrego were opening up Beachwood here on the Promenade.
Yeah.
I immediately applied for a job. I knew I told them I wanted to be in the brewery. Unfortunately, at that point in time, there was no position in the brewery.
Yeah.
So I started behind the bar, trained at Beachwood Seal Beach, and then I was here on opening night, July 5th, 2011, to close the bar that night. It was pretty awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, really, again, fun, exciting times.
Yeah.
I worked behind the bar here for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
Before I started, interning with Julian.
Yeah.
I remember some of those late nights and early mornings where I'd come in the morning. I'd come in at 6 a.m., work with Julian in the brewery for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Sleep in my truck back in the parking lot.
Mm.
Close the bar that night.
Oh, wow.
Stay at my buddy's house here in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Come back and do it again in the morning. Sleep in my truck and then go home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was some pretty crazy fun times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, that's really cool because, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, just from you doing that, you know, obviously quite a bit. I mean, thank goodness your wife was, I'm sure she was like super supportive.
She was. She still is to this day.
That's awesome.
And that was before kids, too. So,
yeah. That would have made it easier.
We were younger and dumber then.
No, but that's awesome, though. I mean, because you need that, like, especially when it comes to something like, you know, brewing. I know, like, you really do have to pour your heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
Like, because, and there's like so many, you know, takes so many hours just to, you know, become, you know, good at it. And it's like, you need that support system. You need someone to be able to, that's like, you know, with you no matter what, because there's going to be long days or long nights like you were having. And that's cool that, you know, you had that, you know, support during that time.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to do it without it for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, working with Julian in here, it was phenomenal. Again, I keep coming back to it, but it was an exciting time.
Yeah.
Things were growing really rapidly. Craft was seeing, you know, exponential growth.
Yep.
And then on top of that, Beachwood was crushing.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, I think, three out of 4 years, Beachwood won Brewery of the Year.
Yeah.
At the Great American Beer Festival. Awards were coming in. People were stoked. This place was packed.
I bet. Yeah, my uncle loves the 28 Haze.
Oh, yeah, 28 Haze later.
That's his favorite. Yeah, totally. That's his go-to hazy every time.
No doubt.
Yeah. So what happened after that?
So I left here as the lead brewer in 2018.
Yeah.
And went over to Rip Beer Company in Huntington Beach.
Awesome.
Rip happened to be on my drive home as I was commuting back to Huntington Beach.
Okay.
And so I'd stop in there every now and then. The guys there knew me, they knew about me, and would kind of pick my brain about beer. And eventually they stopped picking my brain and started offering me a job.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was in 2018 that I took the leap. Just wanted to figure out if craft beer was, you know, my future, if this is what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and have an opportunity to run my own program.
That's awesome.
And, you know, that's what the guys at Rip offered me. Yeah. They offered me an opportunity to really dive in, figure out, you know, what I like to brew, what I wanted to brew, to run a program that was mine.
That's awesome.
Again, we had some great success there at Rip. Saw a lot of growth over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was an awesome run.
Yeah, my brother actually, because he got married a couple of years ago, but they had the rehearsal dinner at Rip.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, killer beer and killer pizza, man. They got some great stuff over there at the Huntington. Is it the Huntington Beach one? I'm trying to remember.
Well, they're both in Huntington Beach. Yeah. So the brewery, the brewery and tap room is on PCH and Warner.
Okay.
And then the pizzeria opened in 2021.
Yeah, okay. I think.
The pizzeria is...
It's killer.
Killing it.
Yeah.
Killing it, man. Every night. It's the closest tap room to my house.
Okay.
And so I'll stop in there and say hi to everybody.
That's awesome.
You know, once a week or so. And it's just constantly crushing.
Yeah. And one thing I love about the craft beer community is that, like, how supportive everybody is.
Yeah.
Like, you rarely find someone that's, like, you know, just a jerk or something like that. Everybody's super nice.
For the most part, I would, you know, Sam Calagione was quoted a decade and more ago saying the craft beer industry is you know, 95%, or was it 5% asshole or something?
Yeah.
Like, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, we're all just trying to make good beer and get by.
Yeah.
Create a life for our families and for all of our employees.
Yeah. Because, I mean, honestly, when it comes to beer, you just want to have a few beers and have a good time.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, for me, that's what this show is. I get to sit down and have a beer with you and, you know, be able to talk and stuff like that.
I mean, our biggest competition, it is truly David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
Our biggest competition are the big guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, the big three and the larger conglomerates that can pay hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to lobby against small brewers like us.
Yep. It's crazy. But I mean, you know, it's just like, but I mean, like, that's the one thing about craft beer too. If you put out a quality product, people are going to find it.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's like, you know, when it comes to Rip, like I've talked to Ryan a couple times over there. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
We tried to figure something out. I want to say it was like maybe 6-7 months ago, but I mean, schedules are crazy. So, you know, life happens. But no, Rip was such a cool place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, during my time at Rip, I was also the president of the Orange County Brewers Guild.
Okay.
And so to be the president and to have the opportunity to work with breweries all throughout Orange County and try to support so many different styles of breweries.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I mean, I love doing anything I can do to help and support guys like me.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. So when did this start to be like, kind of like enter your mind when you're like, I want to take that leap. I want to try to open up my own brewery. How did that happen?
Again, it's like, it's always been a thought.
Yeah.
You know, it's whether it's at a party mm-hmm. and your buddies are like, my buddies are like, hey, when are you going to open your brewery? Dude, I really want to come. I'll support. I'll be there.
Yeah.
It's kind of always this ongoing thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked at a lot of different options over the years. I've had people approach me with stupid offers.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's stupid, like it's a stupid amount of money.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. But I always knew that it was, when I took that leap, I wanted it to be mine.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Investors are awesome. And I know a lot of brewery owners who have investors.
Yeah.
And investors bring money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes investors bring issues too.
Yeah.
So this opportunity, I knew that my wife and I and my sister-in-law could put it together.
Yeah.
And make it happen without additional investors.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made so much sense.
That's awesome.
So when I, you know, it was a conversation and I was approached with this opportunity.
Yeah.
I couldn't say no. I come back to, this is like, for me, this is hallowed ground.
Yeah. This is your
home.
This
is where I cut my teeth and learned how to brew professionally.
Yeah.
Beechwood is, I mean, they're such a well-known, well-respected brewery.
Of course.
In our industry and especially in our area. And to have the opportunity to steward this brewery in this location into the future.
Yeah.
It made so much sense.
Yeah. And I guess it's almost like full circle for you. Like,
yeah.
Like being able to, like, you know, coming over here, talking to them, and then eventually getting to work here. And then, you know, all these years later coming back. So that's pretty, such a cool story.
It's,
you don't always hear that. So.
Cinderella story.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. That's freaking cool. I love the logo.
Awesome. Oh, thank you. Yeah. No, it turned out really cool. My buddy Sal with Kala Design here in Long Beach designed it. The idea was really just to, I wanted something that was playful, that was light, that wasn't niche.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kept kind of coming back. If you open a brewery and you call yourself the, hopefully I won't upset Barrel Brothers.
Oh,
I don't,
good.
You know, but like if you call yourself something specific like that,
uh-huh.
You're kind of tied into it.
Yeah.
And so I wanted a name that was simple, memorable,
mm-hmm.
That could play really well into marketing.
Yeah.
And branding. I wanted the logo, the icon, the brand to be playful, fun, approachable, inclusive.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of where how we came up with that.
Yeah. And so the name, was it just, how did that come? Was that like, was that something you just popped in your head, or did you have other options or something?
We had lots of other options, and nothing really stuck.
Yeah.
As we were playing around with names, my initials are ISM.
Oh, yeah.
Ian Scott McCall.
Yeah.
And I was playing around with isms as names.
Mm-hmm.
I forget a few of the ones that were like the top runners.
Yeah.
Eventually, we just landed on, especially with my family and my kids.
Yeah.
Just ISM.
Yeah.
Just by itself, ISM, ISM. Call it what you want to, as long as you're here having a beer.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But we can really play around with it. It made it simple. You know, beyond that, it was easy to get the domains and the website and, yeah, and the social media. Sometimes, and all that other stuff.
Yeah, sometimes it comes down to that too, because you're like, what's taken and what's not taken?
Totally.
And what can I can, you know, because that's such a huge thing, you know.
It is. It's I mean, we're all on the internet every single day.
Yeah.
But it's a completely different world.
Oh yeah. For sure.
So for a brewer like me to learn to navigate that, and it made it really easy, mm-hmm, with a very simple ism.
Yeah. And that's, so, I mean, that's, it's cool because even like on your guys' website, you can, you know, it kind of talks about that. And I was like, yeah, man, that's really cool.
I mean, it does it beyond my initials.
Yeah.
It really ties into what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
In my life. I mean, with a comparative religion degree, mm-hmm, I've got a minor in Jewish studies.
Okay.
Isms are everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, ism is a belief. Ism is a movement.
Yeah.
And so, my thought is we're the new craft beer movement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the belief that craft beer can sustain and will sustain.
Yeah.
And that quality is going to carry us through.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was like saying earlier, like when it comes to like craft beer, like if you're putting out quality stuff, people will find their way to it.
Totally.
And that's why it's like, that's what I love about this industry, because like there are like, you know, so many different places, but every, you know, when you go to, somebody will tell you like, oh, you've got to check this place out.
Yeah.
Or if you're into this, you've got to go here. Or if you're into that, you've got to go here. And, you know, I love that about this, like, just community, because there's always, you know, you can sit there and be sitting across from somebody, like, and that's what I've always wanted this to be, and make it feel like we're just sitting at the bar and we just happen totally to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, brewers and brewery owners for a decade.
Yeah.
Have been saying, man, we're so impacted.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much good beer out there. There's a lot of bad beer out there. Like, the cream is going to rise to the top.
Oh, for sure.
And I think now in this post-COVID, mm-hmm, post-pandemic world, we're starting to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of all the, there's a lot of breweries that are opening up now.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is the ones that are opening up now are coming out the gates. And whether they're brewer-owned, mm-hmm, or they're brewer-centric, or brewer-driven,
mm-hmm,
the product across the board is worlds better.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and there's a ton of places. And you know what? I have to admit, like, I used to come to Long Beach a lot. I hadn't been here. Like, I don't think I've ever come to this location to Beachwood. I went to their Seal Beach one, long time ago, but this is like, it's such a cool spot because I mean, like all the foot traffic and everything like that. So I'm sure it's like, you know, that's awesome. Cause you guys are doing your soft opening right now. Do you know when's the grand opening going to be?
The date we're targeting right now is January 5th, 6th and 7th for that weekend.
Awesome. Cause I think this is going to come out the week before that.
Oh, so, perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. There we go.
I mean, and downtown Long Beach is really just starting to get revitalized again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Long Beach has gone through these waves and phases where mm-hmm. it really takes off. In 2011, when I started here, it was just on an uptick.
Yeah.
And sometime around 2018, 2019, pre-pandemic,
mm-hmm.
it was cranking, man.
Yeah.
People were coming down here. They were out. They were partying on Pine. They were here mm-hmm. on the promenade. It was awesome. Obviously, the pandemic and COVID and post-COVID really took a hit down here in downtown Long Beach.
Yep.
But I know that there's a lot of investment coming in. I mean, right across the promenade from us, there's a 225 condo complex going up with retail on the bottom.
That's cool.
So by hopefully March is the word I'm hearing, that should be open and fully, you know, fully rented out, or not even rented out, but purchased. Yeah. We've got something like 800 condos just in a one block radius of us here.
That's perfect. Yeah.
And this is happening not just here. This is all over downtown.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of investment. There's a lot of revitalization going on downtown. You know, and that's what I want people to know that.
Yeah.
Like Long Beach isn't, it's just north of Orange County.
Yeah.
It's just south of LA County.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe a half an hour drive in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on down and check us out.
Yeah, I'm over in Bellflower, and it took me, what, maybe 18 minutes?
Yeah,
to totally. Get here? Super close. So, I'm going to be here a lot. So, sorry if I start bugging you.
No, it's all good, man. That's what we're here for.
Yep. Oh, there we go. Oh, so you mentioned Brewbakers earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have like? Was there a specific beer there that kind of did it for you?
Did it for me. There's one beer in particular that I keep going back to.
Yeah,
and it's just one that I came up with, and we didn't have a name for it. We just called it Rye PA, and it was I think it was like a 15% rye IPA. I think at that point in time, I was using a whole lot of Chinook.
Okay.
And it was one of my favorite beers to brew, to have on tap. And, you know, it kind of gained a lot of traction, a lot of steam.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but that's the one that kind of comes back around to me that I think about quite often.
Yeah. I think mine was probably the Stone, like just a normal, regular IPA.
Yeah.
But it was, I remember when I first had like a Double Bastard, I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
it was,
totally.
It was so hard to like initially, and I eventually ended up liking them. But when I first had it, I was like, why?
And I think, I mean, look at their marketing. That's kind of what they were going for.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stone Ruination was, mm-hmm. I mean, there was a constant rotator in my fridge.
Yeah.
When I met my wife, we went to Goat Hill. For our first three nights in a row, first three dates.
Oh, wow.
And drank Stone Ruination by the pitcher.
Oh, that's awesome. Remember,
pitchers were $17.
Dang. And back then, even like that was a lot of money back then. Yeah.
But, I mean, Stone, in those days, it was Stone. It was Green Flash. It was Alpine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I know growlers have gone away now.
Yeah.
And Crowler is king.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my wife and I used to have, my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
We used to have, I mean, dozens and dozens of growlers.
Yeah.
And at least once a month, if not every other weekend,
mm-hmm.
we were trekking down to San Diego to refill our growlers.
Yeah.
So we had beer for the next 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always fun going down there because I remember going like on a couple tours and stuff like that, but it was always like they always had different beers. See, I remember that was the first time I had Dogfish Head too.
Oh yeah,
like, it was way back when. But like craft beer, man, it's just like, it's crazy how much it's grown. Yeah, it's like, and it just continues to grow too. So I mean, it feels like it's
by the numbers, it's not growing that much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If you look at the stats that are being put out by the Brewers Association,
yeah, because I think this was the first year, right?
Yeah, we're not seeing any growth, but yeah. I think I think what we're seeing instead of growth is more consistent quality.
Yeah.
Better quality across the board. And I hope it continues that way.
Oh, for sure. Do you have favorite styles that you like to, well, we'll say drink and brew?
In terms of brewing, I mean, for the most part, brewing is pretty simple and straightforward.
Yeah.
Now, I say it's simple. Yeah. It's not simple, but it is. The brewing process itself, it's pretty simple.
Mm.
You know, I liken it to a chef making a stock or a soup.
Yeah.
Once you learn the process of making that stock or that soup, you can recreate it.
Yeah.
And it's very similar for a blonde ale, a pale ale, an IPA, a red ale, a stout.
Mm-hmm.
What you're changing is the ingredients, right? You're changing the grist, you're changing the hops, you're ultimately changing the yeast.
Yep.
And then there's so many other things that go into it, from water chemistry through fermentation temperature, and all your back end process as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the process of brewing a beer is almost the same
for
each beer. So in terms of what, like my favorite beer to brew isn't necessarily beer to brew, but it's when we get to work with a new process or a new ingredient.
Yeah.
Or a new, you know, there's so many new advanced hop products now.
Yeah.
So having the opportunity to play with something maybe experimental or new to us and figure out how to best work it into our process to either extract the most efficiency, the greatest aroma, the greatest flavor.
Yeah.
That's where I get really excited about brewing on a day-to-day basis.
That's awesome. Because, I mean, and that one thing I love about brewers, like, it's they're never satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like there's always that, you know, wanting to, you know, continue to push the product or push the beer here or there mm-hmm. or anywhere, you know?
I consider it an evolution of beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's an evolution of a product or evolution of a brand.
Yeah.
You know, you come out with that first time you brew an IPA and you call mm-hmm. it Mike's Badass IPA, yeah. right? Now, you probably love the mosaic that you used mm-hmm. and the strata that you used yep. and the, you know, whatever HBC 1019 that you used in that beer. Yeah. But at some point, you're going to get halfway through that batch and you're going to go, man, how can I make this better?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a constant evolving process where, you know, maybe it's a small tweak to the grain.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to swap out a portion of your Pilsner malt for Vienna malt or mm-hmm. whatever it is. And you want a little bit more sweetness or a little bit more maybe lasting bite or body. And there's so many different things you can do.
Yeah.
It becomes an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing that, you know, I joke about with Danny from Rip.
Yeah.
We started calling it the pint of pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really the idea is when you've tapped that beer, mm-hmm. you spent the last 18, 19, 25, who knows, 60 days making this beer.
Mm-hmm.
You get it on tap, pour yourself a pint.
Yep.
And just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Don't critique it. Don't. You know, don't tear it apart. Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because you worked really hard to make that beer.
Yeah.
And you deserve it.
Yeah.
But then every beer after that, rip it to shreds.
Yeah.
Critique the heck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how you can make it better.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, think about body, look, head retention, aroma, flavor. Like, from every level, how can you make this beer better next time?
Yeah.
And then start to create that pathway to get to where you want to be.
Oh, for sure. And like, that's the one thing, because you never want to get like complacent either. You
right.
know, you want to always be like challenging yourself. And I always quote, was it Red from Shawshank? It yeah. says, get busy living or get busy dying. Like, that's like a mantra for me, because like you have to, and even for this show, like I always want, like, I mean, I had an ex-girlfriend before and she would tell me like, you know, it's okay. Like you don't need to, it doesn't have to be perfect every time. Like, no, like I'm yeah, always striving for that
for sure.
because I want, that's what I want. Like, I don't want to half-ass something.
No, 100%.
Yeah. I want to be able to come over here and sit and talk to you and be able to like, you know, enjoy that conversation and get the best possible, like, you know, just conversation out of you. Cause sometimes, you know, when you talk to people, like, you know, they can be a little standoffish or, oh, you know, not so like open. And then at the end of the interview, that's when they open up. It's like, bro.
Well,
like,
it depends on how many beers you have.
That's true too. Yeah. But I just feel like, yeah, like when you can have those, you know, have those kind of moments and, you know, and continue to pursue and, you know, just like, cause I mean, nobody's perfect and nothing's perfect, but you're the pursuit of that, I feel like is what I love about this industry.
Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a constant growth.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Like what other beers do you guys have? What do you like to drink? Like your specific.
What do I like to drink? Yeah. I mean, Pilsners, obviously, yeah. Lagers.
I feel like that's the brewer's drink.
It's a brewer's drink. It's a go-to. Yeah. Now, before that, I mean, obviously, IPA.
Mm-hmm.
West Coast IPA is near and dear to my heart. Not only through my time here at Beachwood, my time at Rip.
Yeah.
I absolutely love drinking a well-made West Coast IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Something that's clear, it's crisp, it's super aromatic, has a great flavor. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
It's really my first love.
That's awesome.
In craft beer.
Nice. I mean, a good West Coast, you can't beat it. It's like a good Pilsner. That's why, like, anytime my brother asks me, he's like, oh, if we're going to a brewery, he has like, oh, what do you want? What do you want to get or whatever? Like, oh, usually first thing I'll go through is a Pilsner, because if the Pilsner is good, everything yeah. else is probably pretty
sure.
fantastic.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Because I know they always say like, that's the, you know, it's the brewer's beer, but, you know, they always say like, if, like, you know, you have to be, it has to be done well, done right, because if it, you can really mess it up.
For sure. It's yeah. a very simple beer. Simple yeah. grist, simple hopping. I mean, it's, again, I say simple very loosely.
Yeah. yeah.
If it was that simple, we'd all have really great Pilsners.
Yeah.
But there's nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think even West Coast IPA is going that direction too.
Yeah,
where a lot of the caramel malts being pulled out, they're simpler grist.
Mm-hmm.
They're dry. They're lean.
Yeah,
and they're really just allowing, at least my West Coast IPA, just allowing the hops to shine.
Yeah, and that's awesome, brother. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, that's just such a, like, you know, such a cool thing, like, you know, that you guys have going on here. And like, you know, being able to come back home.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know. I'm sorry. When I was just thinking to myself, I was like, man, how cool is that? That you got to do that. Like, cause it doesn't, like, you know, that's, it really is like a Cinderella story. You never really get to hear that. So.
Yeah. I mean, if when I'm at home drinking,
yeah,
you know, no lies, I'm drinking PBR.
There you go.
Drinking Coors Lights.
There you go.
And then I've got kind of a rotating stock of, you know, whatever beer shows up here at the brewery, and I'll take some home.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any when you were at Rip or even here, like when it was Beechwood, did you have any other like favorite breweries that you would frequent? Or?
So I live in Huntington Beach.
Okay.
Orange County is kind of my home, my playground.
Yeah.
In terms of frequenting, I mean, you can probably catch me at Green Cheek.
Okay.
If I'm out with the kids, I'll take the kids over there and grab a burger and a beer.
Yep.
Where else am I going? I spend a lot of time out at Everywhere.
Okay.
Hanging out with those cats.
Jeremy, I haven't got to meet him, but I've heard nothing but great things about him.
Really great things. We actually have a collaboration with them coming out.
Oh, yeah. I saw you guys were
next
just
week,
there, right?
So it'll be 2 weeks prior.
Okay.
By the time this is released.
There it is.
So we should be having it on tap by that point in time.
Nice. What style?
West Coast IPA, baby.
I love it. Oh, yeah, I remember I was going to ask you, because I know, like, obviously the New Zealand hops are, like, they've gotten really popular. Have you played with any of those yet?
Yeah, we actually have a few New Zealand hop IPAs or beers on tap.
All right.
We have a New Zealand Pils with...
I know what I'm getting next.
With Purwaka and Motueka.
I love it.
5.1%. Yeah, it's an awesome beer.
Awesome.
We have a beer on tap right now called Kiwi Fingers.
Ooh,
okay. With Nelson and Citra.
Okay.
And then Quaffable at Best.
Yeah.
Is our pale ale on tap right now.
Yeah.
And it is, I'm going to screw this up, Simcoe, Mosaic, and Nectaron.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
That sounds, yeah. Well, I know what beers I'm
going to I mean, last year when I was still at RIP, we were given the opportunity through YCH and their partnership with NZ Hops to do our selection for New Zealand hop varietals for Nelson,
awesome.
Rewaka, Motueka, and Nectaron while at CBC.
Wow.
So we absolutely took advantage of that. I've been buying some hops off of RIP from those selected lots for what we're doing here.
Okay.
Going forward into next year, I'll continue working with YCH and NZ, and then I'm also working with Freestyle to get in a few other hop varietals with some experimentals.
Okay. That's damn.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
so
pretty
that's
cool, man.
That's cool. Again, IPAs and hoppy beers, that's where my love is.
Yeah.
So I worked with YCH for a long time, and even before I opened up here at ISM, I got a chance to go out to Yakima and do a hop selection for this project specifically.
Okay.
Back in, you know, I guess it was back in, but so a few months ago.
Yakima there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I have that. I forgot I had stickers in there.
It's really cool. Right now we're working through selected Mosaic, Citra, Simcoe, along with selected Citra, Mosaic, and Simcoe Cryo.
Okay.
Each year I go up there, I'm on the Columbus Cryo selection panel as well. So
awesome.
We get that same Columbus Cryo. It's been really important part of being a brewer and my journey to really be able to dial down exactly which hops we're using from what farms and selected lots.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta support those, you know, those farms and stuff like that to be able to, you know, to sustain themselves and then, you know, obviously to sustain your business. So that's freaking, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I think
it's part of what sets us aside as a small, young craft brewery.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of breweries our size starting up, without those relationships, don't have those connections and are getting whatever's left, whatever's on spot.
Yeah.
And not that what's on spot is bad.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah.
It varies in terms of quality and, you know, oil content, flavor, aroma.
Yeah.
And so being able to know exactly what we have for the year is really important.
Of course. And what beers, what other beers do you have on tap currently?
So right now we have 10 beers on tap.
Okay.
Nice. The lightest being our blonde ale, Bleach Boys Blonde.
Okay.
And then we also have a version of that with peach.
Oh.
It's a really cool beer.
Nice.
Working with a buddy of mine through True Terpenes.
Okay.
And so we're using a 100% hop-derived terpene in that beer.
Oh, wow.
And it's just this bright white peach, slight mango tropical. It's awesome.
Damn.
It's really cool. We have Interloper in our glass right now. Mm-hmm. Next is Quaffable at Best, which I mentioned is our pale ale.
Okay.
The New Zealand Pils is called Lagrope.
Okay.
Lagrope. It's what a New Zealand surfer calls his surfboard leash.
Oh, okay.
His Lagrope. Lagrope,
that's awesome. Sounds like something a hobbit would say, though.
Yeah. I have a red ale on tap right now.
Okay.
It's called Past Return.
Okay.
It was kind of one of the first beers. When I jumped over to Rip, my first beer we put in tank was Crimson Killa. And that was a beer. It was a red ale that we brewed pretty consistently.
Yeah.
Almost quarterly over there and kept on draft most of the time.
Okay.
So one of the first beer recipes I put together when coming here, again, was a red ale.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to make it a little bit different. It's not as hop driven.
Yeah.
And we actually used 18%. It's so in the beer, in the grist, 18% caramel rye.
Oh, wow.
From Wireman. Kind of as an ode to, again, one of my favorite beers, which was Hop Rod Rye from Bear Republic. If you remember that, hoppy red ale, awesome beer.
You know what's crazy? It's like you don't see reds as often. Like at least I don't see reds as often on menus and stuff.
You're not seeing them a whole lot. I think that there's a bit of a return to them.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of a return to kind of pub culture and like those early 2000s.
Yeah.
Kind of pub culture.
Yeah.
I think about red ales like I've got such a great experience and history with red ales.
Yeah.
Right? When I was 20 years ago, or it used to be 18 years ago, sitting on the bar at Carl Strauss or at BJ's,
Red Trolley,
drinking a Jeremiah Red.
Yeah.
You know, and now all those dudes who I was sitting at the bar who were my age at that point in time,
yeah,
now they're here with their kids and their grandkids,
yeah,
getting to drink my red ale.
Yeah.
And so I think that's cool. Super rad.
Yeah. Because it's just that, like, you know, that family that you kind of find and, you know, you could be together and, like, you know, like you said, 20 something years ago, and then, you know, for it to happen now and it coming full circle again like that, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I think my first red was like Killian's, I think.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, Killian's Irish Red. I remember drinking Killian's Irish Red in Vegas at one of the small side casinos.
Yeah.
And just like keep them coming.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Line them up.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the red ale, so Past Return, we're actually utilizing all Columbus Cryo the Whirlpool. It's really rad. I haven't had a red ale like that yet.
Okay.
Nice. And then right now we have 3 West Coast IPAs on tap.
Yeah.
Western Standard Time.
I love
Kiwi
that name.
Fingers.
Yeah. Western Standard Time.
And then what's the last one? Judy.
Okay.
And we just tapped yesterday a double IPA.
Nice.
Yeah, called Implicit Intuition.
What's the story behind Judy?
Judy's kind of a Gene, our head brewer.
Okay.
Really wanted to play with the ism as a suffix.
Yeah.
And then Judy being a woman's name, Judaism.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
So I think we're going to kind of continue with the female name for an IPA, a West Coast IPA.
Okay.
I guess it doesn't have to be female or male.
Yeah, either
way. But just something simple, Judaism.
Yeah.
Maybe Kathy for Catholicism.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And
so it's just kind of a comparative religion.
Yeah, just kind of an inside joke for us that we're playing around with.
That's cool, man. That's awesome. One thing I always love to ask a brewer is, have you ever had a stuck mash?
Yes. I've had some pretty gnarly stuck mashes.
Yeah.
Over at Rip, man, we did a few big Imperial Stouts.
Okay.
And there were a few of them that were just a nightmare.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got runoffs that take 4-6 hours.
Jeez.
Yeah, they're never any fun.
Yeah. And it, they would
rice holes are your friend.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. Everybody, anytime I talk to a brewer, is like, you know, but you know, some it's crazy. Sometimes when I've met people, they're like, oh, like yeah, they don't use rice holes here. I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? But then, you know, it's just, you know, to each his own, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, bioglucanase too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities now to help avoid stuck mashes.
For sure.
But they're still gonna happen.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're absolutely going to happen.
Yep. Another question I would love to ask too is, like, do you have your own, like, hangover cure, or like, do you still get hangovers?
Oh yeah, I still get hangovers. Yeah. The best hangover cure is to avoid one in the first place. Drink a lot of water to avoid getting too drunk in the first place. Secondly, I mean, really, have another beer.
Yeah.
You know, jump back on the horse and get going again.
Yep.
Aside from that, if I'm at home and I drank too much on a Saturday, I'm going to do my best just to lay in my bed as long as possible. My wife calls it the man flu.
Yep.
Call it whatever you want to. Yep. It's just rest.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? I don't know if you're like a movie person, but I watched the movie called The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti and a few other people. And, one person said there, he's like, oh, he's got the cocktail flu.
Yep, that's pretty. That's pretty that right. Before. Totally. Enjoy it before you got kids, because when you got kids, I don't know though. Mine will come in. They'll lay in bed with me. It's all really sweet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you get to throw on a movie or something like that. That's
totally.
That's awesome. Do you have like a favorite hangover food? Like food, like if you're hungover, this is what you would want to eat.
Eggs.
Okay.
Got to have eggs in the morning.
Gotcha.
I mean, just a real simple breakfast plate.
Yeah.
Eggs, hash browns, maybe a slice of bacon.
I think that's like ideal. Like, yeah, because you get kind of like that saltiness from the bacon, mm-hmm. some maybe like hash browns or something like that. I would always put in.
Got
like
runny eggs on toast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good. And I like, I'll mix my eggs and my hash browns and I'll put Tabasco.
There you go. Yeah, nice.
That's my go-to. But I also love a good breakfast burrito, though, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Can't beat that.
What's your favorite breakfast burrito around here?
Oh, man. There's a place that's not too far from me. It's I want to say it's like in Pico Rivera. It's not super far, but it's called the Burrito Exchange.
Okay.
So shout out to the Burrito Exchange. They make this habanero salsa.
Ooh.
Oh, it's like I always ask them for like extra. But I'll always like juice the guy up. I'm like, hey, man, this is the best habanero. Because sometimes they'll only give you two. So you got to juice the guy up a little bit. Like, hey, man, this is the best I've ever had. Which is, it is really good. So sometimes he'll give me like 4 or 5 after I juice him up. To tell him how good the.
So you got some for tomorrow too?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Because
then I can make like a burrito or something like that and just be able to do all that.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite breakfast burrito, or are you a breakfast burrito person?
I am, yeah. I'm actually a. My buddy Jeremy and his father Forrest own Ham and Scram. They have two locations.
Oh, nice.
The original location's in Westminster.
Okay.
And then they just opened up a location here off 7th Street.
Oh,
so nice. Sometimes, it's probably once a week, it's my go-to spot.
There you go.
On my way into the brewery for a breakfast burrito.
Nice. That's cool. I mean, like, I'm sorry, I can't get over it. I keep looking at everything in here.
Yeah.
I just love how cool it is and, like, all the different places, because you have like so many different, like you have all these different shops around here, and like, and I really love the outside. I can't wait to record some video of everything, and I love your merch too. Who does your merch?
So right now our hats are coming from Puka.
Okay.
We're getting our glassware from E-Grandstand.
Okay.
And then the shirts were designed, the logo and the icon was designed by my buddy Sal.
Okay.
My buddy Casey with Freshies, RIP Freshies.
Yeah.
They're no longer around, but he was the one who put it together. So I got to find out where I'm going to go next for merch.
Okay.
For shirts and such.
I'm definitely buying a hat.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
I'm going to get a hat, and probably because I don't have I have like a whole two drawers full of brewery shirts.
Yeah.
That I need. I don't have one that's that blue. So I need that blue.
Oh, you got to have that blue. Yeah, shirt. For yeah. sure.
So I'm definitely going to pick this one up. And this is delicious too.
Thank you very much.
The Lagro.
That's Lagro. Yeah, that's the New Zealand Pils.
Nice.
I went with Judy.
Oh, man, that's killer. You don't... anything New Zealand, I will just, like, if somebody has it on the menu or on tap, I'm like, yeah, just take my money. Yeah.
But I mean, I love the direction we're going with hoppy pilsners.
Yeah, man.
You know, I know it's kind of it's a melding of styles where you've got these real light quote IPAs.
Yeah,
but.
You know what I love about it too? It's like, because you mentioned earlier how like Reds are kind of having a resurgence. I feel that way about like West Coast, and I feel that way about Pilsners because don't get me wrong, I love a good hazy, but if you can give me one, I will take this any day of the week.
Yeah.
I feel like they're starting to, I don't think they ever went away, but they were kind of quiet a little bit. People weren't ordering them as much because hazies were so popular and still are popular. But I love that they're really making like breweries, and when you go to places, and you especially making something like this that I just want to hold and go to sleep with.
Sure, and yeah. I think, you know, one thing I'm working on here is lowering our ABVs.
Yeah.
But not significantly, just a few points.
Yeah.
But making them a little bit more approachable, sessionable.
Mm-hmm.
Making beer culture, like beer and pub culture, a thing again.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it's just, it didn't go away, but line culture and hype and everything else kind of took away from it.
Yeah.
The four packs were, especially during the pandemic, where you're getting four packs of just craziness and going home.
Yeah, getting sloshed. Getting sloshed.
You know, that was great during, you know, the last 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But I love pub culture.
Yeah.
I love having people sitting at the bar, enjoying beer, enjoying conversation, enjoying great food.
Yeah.
And that's a question I've gotten a lot recently is, do we have food?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. We have an awesome menu.
Awesome.
We have an elevated, what I would consider an elevated pub menu.
Okay.
Focusing on sandwiches.
Nice.
So we got 5 different sandwiches, a veggie, a chicken, a salmon melt that is, in my opinion, like the sleeper on the menu.
I don't think I've ever heard of a salmon melt.
Oh, it's awesome.
It sounds phenomenal.
We have a tri-tip sandwich, which is smoked, coffee rubbed and smoked tri-tip.
Ooh.
Rested overnight, sliced in the deli slicer, so it's thin. Ooh. It's almost like a pastrami. It's phenomenal.
Dang.
With a corn succotash, chimichurri, and like a chipotle aioli.
Wow.
It's definitely, so far, it's like our number one seller.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody heard of anybody slicing a tri-tip like that.
It's really good.
Oh, I bet, man. That's,
And then finally, really we have good. This awesome, we're calling it the pot roast dip for now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a braised beef sandwich with a horseradish cream.
Oh,
and then we do a red ale au jus on the side. Yeah, it's really good.
I don't know. People couldn't see me, but my eyes just got real wide when Ian said that.
So. Yeah, I mean, all the sandwiches across the board, the menu is really popping. So
that's
awesome. I'm working on getting the website finalized.
Okay.
By the time this goes live, we should be all good. Menu and everything will be on there as well. So
sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, and speaking of food, do you have like a favorite? Like, because I feel like sandwiches and beer just like kind of go together. Or like a burger and a beer. But I always like ask, like, is it tacos? Is it wings? Is it burgers? Like, what do you like prefer like to have? Like, if you were going out somewhere?
If I'm going out drinking, I'm a wing guy.
Okay,
we've got some really good wings here.
Nice.
We're doing a tangy barbecue and we're calling it Tatanka, but a buffalo.
Oh, nice. Tatanka reminds me of, I don't know if
for all you Dances with Wolves fans out there.
And I was gonna say, I don't know if you were ever a wrestling fan, but I remember the wrestler Tatanka. I always have to throw wrestling in there at some point. So.
Along with my wings, gotta have some good fries.
Oh yeah!
And so we're making our own house fries here as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, dude, they're awesome. Can't get enough. Okay. So you can get those by themselves. You can get them in loaded fries. Get them on the side of all your sandwiches. I'm super stoked.
Yeah, man, that braised beef. That sounds pretty darn good.
Yeah, if you just want a little small bite, one of the dishes that I knew I had to have on here. Appetizer dish is an olives and nut plate.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm just sitting down to have 2-3 beers and I want to just have some alone time, that little olive and nut plate is perfect.
Yeah.
They're served warm, so we actually roast them with pits inside, Castelvetranos and Colossus, Marcona almonds.
Wow.
With a sprinkling of za'atar. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome, man. That's... Do you like this, what you've put together here, Like, you know, and like I said, being able to come home and, you know, obviously the menu you talked about, the beers that you have. I mean, I've only had two, but I know the rest of them are good just based off of these two. And, you know, and that's the one thing about, like, when you find something like that, when you find a place like that, you can, what do you want to call it? You find that kind of, that trust. Like, you have that, like, this, like, even when I go to Pier down in San Diego, like, sure. I know, like, if I go there, I'm going to have a good time, and I'm going to have good beer.
Yeah.
I'm going to have good food. And I feel like even just after the two beers, I'm there. So, you're killing it, brother.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you being on. This is, like, you know, this is my therapy, and I get to sit down and talk, you know, beer with one of the well, to me, at least in my eyes, one of the goats. So
oh, thank awesome. You very much. I appreciate that.
And I wanted to ask you before we do finish, you got to talk to Evan.
Evan Price?
Yeah, over with him when, because I was going to record with Daniel, and then he was just like, well, I'm sitting there, and Evan's interviewing Ian, and I just thought that was, like, the coolest thing. I was like, man, like, to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah.
Just to, like, what was it like?
You actually, I mean, I don't know. Before this goes live,
we
may do it. We haven't actually done that yet.
Oh, I thought it was going to happen.
No,
oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's been in the works, but it actually hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay.
So as of the 10th.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened. What was good? I think it's a great idea. I love and adore Evan.
Yeah.
I respect the hell out of the guy.
Yeah.
He's built a phenomenal business over there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if and when it does happen, you got to pick up the beer paper to to read all about it.
Yep. I was going to say, read all, I was going to do like the check. No, was it not? What do they used to say? Like something, read all about it. The old timey thing. I can't remember. I'm going off on a tangent. But
that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it sounds fun. We just haven't done it yet.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, man. I can't wait to, if you wouldn't mind giving me a little tour.
Yeah, happily. Listen.
You'll get to see it when the reel comes out, but I really appreciate this, man.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, brother. All right, well, everybody, don't forget to come down to Ism. It's off of 3rd Street, and you said Broadway?
210 East 3rd Street. Yeah. We're located on the promenade between 3rd and Broadway. We do offer 3-hour validated parking.
Awesome.
If you park in the Lofts parking lot behind us, you can enter either off Long Beach Boulevard or off of Waite Court, which is the alleyway that runs behind our building.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to our Instagram, you'll find a little map that I put up on there just to help you out.
Yeah.
They switched over to like an AI generated parking thing. So when you pull in, it'll recognize your license plate. You have to scan the QR code on the wall, put in your name and your license plate and your credit card.
Yeah.
It's not going to charge you, unless you stay for more than 3 hours.
Yeah.
When you get in here to our space, just scan the QR code. You get 3 hours free. I think it's like $2 or $2 an hour beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, I think there's three different parking structures here in downtown Long Beach that are first 2 hours free for anybody, just for the public. And again, at $2 an hour beyond. So in walking distance, there's multiple parking structures you can kind of park at and come down and enjoy our beers.
Awesome. Well, everybody get on down here whenever you get the chance, because, I mean, they got some killer stuff, and I can't wait to try maybe a couple more while we take the tour.
Yes, of course.
All right, well, thanks again, brother.
Yeah, really, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.
Take care, brother. Oh, and you can also, it's at Ism Brewing on
Instagram. Oh, yes, at Ism Brewing on Instagram. Facebook's the same, at Ism Brewing.
Okay.
Visit our website, which should be completely live and ready to rock and roll
by
the time this goes live at www.ism.beer.
Yeah.
We're working on a TikTok, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to hit it all.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You have to do those things. Like, I tried to do TikTok. I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I have no idea what we're doing.
Somebody younger to do it.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Yeah.
But thanks again, man. This has been so fun.
Yeah, of course.
Take care, brother.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Ian. I'm not going to play the outro song this week. Because obviously we have a musical snack from Chew. But I did want to finish it with one of my favorite movie quotes, and it is from my favorite Christmas movie. I had it here and I just don't know what happened. It'll be here in a sec. Here we go. All right. It says, when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down the chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house. Clark W. Griswold. And thank you, Chew, for doing the outro this week.
Ho, 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 Santa Chew is here! Never fear, boys and girls. Merry, merry, Feliz Navidad, and a Happy New Year filled of beer in your glasses. As you all know, resolutions are around the corner, and instead of making false advertisements of losing weight and spending time with the families, let's make a resolution we can all keep. Ho, 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 ho. From Santa Chu to you, 2024 resolution, let's all buy a beer for a perfect stranger we never met. A free beer brings cheers and smiles to everybody's face. Boys and girls, Santa Chu is here to tell you our New Year's resolution for 2024. The craft beer community, we can do this one instead of losing weight and being healthier and spending time with our loved ones, because you know you're not. You'd rather be at a brewery hanging out with Santa Chu, your friends, and whoever's there with you getting drunk and smashed. So for 2024, let's buy a perfect stranger a nice cold brew. Ho, ho, ho. Feliz Merry Christmas and Happy Beer Year to you from Santa Chu.